So I want to thank you for bringing me up on this podium today, and I want to thank Carlos for making all this happen. It's not that often that I get to speak to this kind of group, and I usually am like training medical personnel and therapists, people like that. So I should tell you who I am. My name is Tiger Howard DeVore. I'm a clinical psychologist and a sex therapist. But my most important work, I think, has been in my media activism, which you heard a little bit of a description about earlier. I've done everything I can in the last 30 years to be on TV and on the radio and in print and on the internet, talking about how it is that people who are sexually different need to be recognized and be given rights. So everybody knows what GLBT is. We know about gays, lesbians, bisexual, and transsexuals. But not that many people really know what intersex is, and I want to make that very clear to you. Intersex is my community. When you look at biology, we like to think of species as coming in two forms, male or female. It's very binary. And the truth is that nature is variable and has this kind of beautiful range to it. So we like to think of male and female, but that's not true. What's true is that there's all this range here. And because in this time we like to think of male and female, all the stuff between that falls into this category called intersex. And that's who I am. That's how I was born. When I was born, my parents, actually, you know, I came out of the birth canal, and when they looked between my legs, where you should see a penis or you should see, you know, female genitalia, it was something mixed, right? Not both, not one or the other, but mixed, something in between. Okay, so traditionally, doctors at the time that I was born told people who had children like me that they shouldn't pressure them too hard to be either masculine or feminine. They should let them have this kind of androgyny. And my parents had elected to name me Tiger, but they thought that Tiger was going to be too strongly masculine a name. So they canceled that idea, and they instead named me Howard. And let me tell you, Howard is not a challenging name. Okay? Now, I hated the name. I never thought it fit me. It never worked for me. And as soon as I had a chance, I restored my name as Tiger legally. There's a lot of stigma and shame, a lot of hiding and, you know, attempt to not be seen when you're a person who doesn't fit into the social norms. And I didn't fit into male or female. I was assigned at birth, and I could have been assigned female or male. I was assigned at birth to be raised as a male. And from there on, there was this big push, right? Be as male as you can be, right? Even though they realized I was intersex, be as male as you can be. And I'm here to talk about difference. Difference is really about what genderful life is all about. My life has been about gender from the moment I was born. All those questions about, are we going to make me male or female? Am I going to be masculine or feminine? Am I going to wear pants or skirts, long hair or short? Am I going to play with Barbie dolls or trucks? All these kinds of questions about gender. And, you know, clearly, the politics of gender in this society and what's acceptable here, society likes these categories very strictly defined, binary, one or the other. And any crossing a boundary is seen as suspicious and questionable. If you dare to cross the gender boundary, it means that you will be targeted for prejudice, exclusion, even violence. You know, these rules about what's okay and what's not, if you align, right, if you conform, everything will be okay. But sometimes the mainstream will allow difference to exist. And the way they'll do that is if difference presents in a closeted way, if we kind of hide who we really are. If we do the best to pretend that we are not different from the mainstream, we might be able to be allowed to coexist. And we can become seduced by this. I mean, the idea is, even though I'm gay, or even though I'm queer, or I'm whatever, if I just pretend to be like a regular straight guy, and I don't do anything to make the people who are straight around me too uncomfortable, then I'll be accepted. And it's easy to be seduced by that, in our wish for a good life and reduce suffering. But there are lots of examples of how that can work. You know, you think about trans people who transition or make their confirmation, and then they just assimilate. Think about a man who becomes a woman and then marries a heterosexual man and disappears into general society. We never know that person. The person leaves behind their trans friends, their queer friends. They become a member of heterosexual mainstream, right? So they don't do anything for those of us who are different. What they do something for is for those who are the same. Gay people are currently engaged in this very strong fight where they believe that they're winning rights by being just like straight people. And one of the ways they want to, or several of the ways they want to be just like straight people, they want to serve in the military, they want to get married, and by the way, marriage doesn't work for straight people. Okay? It's a bad institution. It is a business for divorce attorneys. But we still want that, right? We still want to be able to marry. We also want to be able to have children, right? We want to adopt kids. And in that way, we're going to look more and more like the heterosexual ideal of what we see in the suburbs. Now, I don't think that these people are wrong. I just don't think they're doing anything to make the world safer for people who are different. I think they're making the world safer for those who want to pretend to be the same. Now, I talked earlier about GLBT and how we all know what that is. You know, people who've been gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transsexual, they've been, at times, a scientific and medical curiosity. And throughout history, there have been ways to try to attempt to treat that to make it go away. And, you know, I'll talk about some of those historical references in a few minutes, but over time, we tend to think of those things as being barbaric and inappropriate. We don't want to do that to people because we recognize their humanity. But that isn't true for intersex. Intersex is different. It's still thought of as a medical anomaly, right? And it's still treatable by surgery that corrects our intersex genitals to make us look more like males or females, right? So I'm born with all this nice intersex genitalia that nothing was medically wrong with me. I just had genitals that didn't look male or female. But what happened is that they signed me male, and they started trying to make me look more male when I was 3 months old. Okay, these surgeries often happen before age one. By making my genitals look more male-like, because they can't make it look really male, they make it look male-like. What happens is that when somebody changes my diaper when I'm an infant, they're not upset by the intersex genitalia they look at. They see something that looks kind of male, so it's kind of okay. And by doing all that, they make me more acceptable. They make me more like the mainstream. And the drive to make everybody similar is very strong. You know, even though I'm talking about intersex people in this instance, there are still places in the world where homosexuals receive corrective medical treatment. And that can take the form of torture and reconditioning, which is kind of like brainwashing, to forced trans surgery. There are places in the world where men who fall in love with men, who are caught at that, are going to be forced to have surgery to live in a female body, because if they're gay like that, and they have a female body, and they fall in love with men, they're going to look heterosexual. And that's okay, right? Because we want people to be the same. We want them to look like mainstreamers. That's what we do. Okay? So if we recognize our difference, we recognize that we, as people who are different, need to have a politic, right? Part of our politics and culture has to be protection for and preservation of our differences. For us to avoid persecution, we have to demonstrate the value of those differences and not pretend to be the same. You know, when the mainstream allows for people to be different, I talked about them being closeted, sometimes when there are vanquished cultures, the mainstream will realize that if they totally destroy the culture that they've taken over, that a lot would be lost. The history, culture, traditions, and contributions of that conquered civilization, which might have value at one point or another, would be lost. So in this country, we did that with people who we now call African Americans. It's not a phrase that makes a lot of sense, but we call people with dark skin African Americans. We've called them different things at different times. But there's been this whole style of celebrating African American culture and heritage, and they're given that special permission. Same thing with Native Americans, which we also had different names for at different times. There's a celebration of their religion, of where they come from, of their culture as well. And at first, when the mainstream gives allowance for this celebration of culture, it's seen as a kindness to the minority culture. But later, those people who remain in that cultural remnant often rise and demand for recognition and respect, not as a curiosity, not because they're cute in their costumes, not because we like their dance, but as a valid group with rights. If the majority is allowed to vote its presence or its prejudice, the minority will always be kept subjugated. We all know this. There's a really scary example of that I want to go over. For years on Capitol Hill, we've been fighting for something called ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. It can pass the House, but it can't pass Senate. And I've been involved in that fight, and I've been on Capitol Hill about that fight. And it's a real problem for me because ENDA, as it's written, includes gay and lesbian people in the workplace. It doesn't include trans people. It doesn't include people who are gender different. And the reason why is because the gay politicos think that in our current times that our government might allow gay and lesbian people to have equal employment opportunity, but trans people are just too much. Gender different people are too much. We can't possibly sell that. So we who are different in this way are told, wait your turn. We'll do it for gays and lesbians, and you'll come along later. I'm not sure what to think of that kind of thinking. Sometimes, when government sees that a particular group is oppressed too badly, right? Things are bad in society as a result of that oppression, the government will step in with what's called liberal change. Liberal change is always weak. No matter how strongly they may intend to implement it, it's always weak. So you look at something like civil rights legislation, which should have made it safe for people of color in the workplace. Ask anybody you know with dark skin what it's like for them in the corporate workplace. Do you really think that they're going to stand across from you and say they have the same opportunities for advancement, they get promoted at the same rate that their white male counterparts get promoted at? Absolutely not. And that's legislation 40 years ago. So, you know, as we look at that imbalance, it's like, well, how does that get corrected? If we're part of a group that is subjugated and, you know, kept down, what are we supposed to do about that? Well, we can create social instability, and we can do civil disobedience, and sometimes that can speed up this process. And the range for that is looking at things like peaceful demonstrations, like Occupy Wall Street, or riots in the street, like what happened when I was living in San Francisco after the murder of the mayor and the supervisor shot people in City Hall and then was given the lightest possible sentence and was out of prison in just a few years instead of going to the gas chamber. Things changed in San Francisco after we took over the streets for 3 days. It was a different city and still is as a result. So if we want to have radical and meaningful change, that can really only take place with a populational shift. So there's an exciting thing happening in the United States. White people will not be the majority of the voting bloc, really in a few short years, something like 10 years away, that brown people will be the largest voting bloc. Can you imagine the change that can take place as a result of that kind of shift in the population? Just imagine when white people aren't in charge anymore. But in the meantime, what do we do? Well, first, we can't be dismissed as deviants. We can't be seen as undesirables who nobody ever knows and nobody ever sees. Second, we have to be seen as medically and scientifically equal. We can't be seen as a group that can be treated and cured and made to go away. Okay? Last, we need to be seen as valuable to the whole. We need to prove that our difference adds to the overall quality of the society, the culture, and the civilization. So what do? To show that? We make art, right? We legislate, we try to make laws, we create economic opportunity, we come up with businesses that nobody has thought of before, we organize, we make groups so that people realize that we exist, we demonstrate, we go out into the streets so that we can be seen. We work to show those who we believe have a broader sensibility, some of those people who are part of the mainstream, some of those people in power, who hold positions of influence to support us, to recognize that we offer value. But you know, mostly, what's most important is that we come out. That we don't hide, that we don't pretend to be the same, that we don't assimilate in a way that makes it impossible for difference to be celebrated. Now, not everybody can be a public figure, right? If you're a public figure, you get death threats, and you get stalkers, and you get put on lists of Christian women who say that you're a danger to society, because I've had all those things happen to me. And many people can't even afford to be known at work. They risk not being able to advance. They risk the success of their career on that basis. But once our numbers are realized, once it's clear that we who are different are part of every family from every part of the world, at that point, the politicians and the pundits, the talking heads on TV, the writers of articles and blogs, even the religious leaders, they realize that when they speak against us, they are speaking against members of people's families. We can only hope those families know us and love us for our queer selves. And that very powerful being known, can create social change when everybody realizes that we are someone they know. We are somebody who they love. We are somebody who they care about. That keeps us from being dismissed as a small group. Oh, that keeps us from being dismissed as a small group. That's my alarm of unusual and deviant misfits. Now, for intersex people like myself, I was born in the late 1950s, in a time where kids born like me were seen as a new frontier for the medical society. Surgeons began experimenting with fixing intersex genitalia to make it look more like normal male or female genitalia. I had about a dozen surgeries during that experimental time, all of which did me more harm than good and caused me to lose genital skin that felt good, had good sensation, and left me with a scarred, misshapen genitals that still don't look like the male genitals they were supposed to be. I was used for a grand experiment in this country, a grand medical experiment, and some activist physicians believe that people who were treated like me deserve apology and compensation for having been used. It wasn't until the late 70s that surgical technique improved, but it didn't improve a lot. I've had 21 surgeries, the last one this last March. The old surgeries keep breaking down and needing repair, so I am a patient for life, and I am not rare. Intersex is the most common birth difference, at least as this society defines birth difference. I feel like my people, intersex people, are being medically eliminated, or at least that's the aim of the medical practice I'm describing. Now remember, this happened to gay people too. In the 30s and 50s, in the 30s through the 50s, brain surgery was attempted as a cure for homosexuality. That's just over 50 years ago. Homosexuality was classified as a disease until 1973, so doctors were medically, ethically bound to treat it and cure it. Now, there are many places in this country and others that still use electric shocks to the genitals and other frightening so-called conditioning techniques to cure homosexuality. So if you look at the history of treating difference and then realizing how barbaric that is, it's clear from that example. So, you know, how come it's still okay every day, many times per day, for intersex infants less than 1 year old to have their parents elect to choose to have cosmetic surgery, not medically necessary, performed on their children's genitals? Intersex is still a disorder. Now it's a disorder of sexual development, to be treated and corrected medically. I can still remember when trans people used to claim they were intersex in order to try to get surgery, when surgery for them was still so highly restricted. But that was their adult informed choice. They knew it was going to happen to them. Can you imagine your parents fixing a part of your body when you were too small and too young to even understand what was being done to you or the consequences of that fixing? You know, a lot of men in this audience know exactly what I'm talking about. It's called circumcision. I know a lot of men who mourn their lost foreskin. And there is some progress being made in stopping that from being an unquestioned general practice in the name of hygiene. Those men who are circumcised will never know what sensation was lost, what good feeling they could have had, but they can see it in men who are uncircumcised. And when they see that those guys have better sensitivity, more feeling, those circumcised guys get angry. Now, just imagine how that is for intersex people, the amount of cutting that's done on our genitals. With multiple surgeries, and sometimes mistaken sex of assignment. If I'd been assigned to be reared as a female, and by the time I hit puberty, I knew I was male, imagine all that surgery that they'd done to make me look female. It would have taken away all the tissue that ever could have been male looking. So I'm here today in this forum among these activists and advocates, artists and performers and others, to ask you to be more aware, more vocal, more supportive of preserving intersex as a natural human variant, not some pathology to be corrected. It should be our right as intersex people to be allowed to exist, not corrected and eliminated before we are old enough to object. When you hear this, please speak out and add your voice when others speak about delaying any kind of childhood genital surgery that is cosmetic until the person that owns those genitals can say for themselves what kind of genitals they want, if they want them to be more male or more like female, and even to allow them to leave the genitals they were born with just exactly as they are, to let them live with their healthy, sexually sensitive intersex genitalia. Doesn't this seem like the most elemental of rights? The right to determine what you choose to have happen to your body. Thank you.